With primary elections both nationally and in Hawaii a few months away, there's much talk about voter turnout. Nationally, it's about whether Democrats will maintain their present enthusiasm and come out to vote more heavily than Republicans will. Also, whether the changes GOP state legislatures have made in voting laws will suppress Democratic voters from voting. And then there's the youth vote. Will the guns and mass shooting incidents mobilize young people who generally have the lowest voter turnout to vote in greater numbers? Neil Milner has touched on these issues, and we continue the conversation. So we understand there's a new book out. What's this about?
It's actually the third edition of a book that came out a few years ago called Get Out the Vote by a couple of political scientists, Donald Green and Alan Gerber. What's important about this book, and people who are interested in running for office should take a look at it, it's very grounded, plain spoken, and most importantly, it uses only the most rigorous evidence of what works in terms of voter turnout or kind of works and what doesn't and where the lore is and where the facts are. So it's a very useful book.
And we've seen in campaigns over the years, in recent years, a lot of emphasis on social media. And there's a lot of, you know, brouhaha with Facebook and all the data mining and, you know, share some of the insights.
Well,
there's
a lot of things packed into that one issue. The first thing to know, let's start at the most simple thing. Mass emails simply don't have any effect on voter turnout. They're real cheap. You can do them on the cheap. They have no effect on turnout at all. The opposite side is that the way you increase turnout is much more through face-to-face. We'll get back to that. According to the evidence, and one of the advantages of the third edition is that they look at social media a little more closely than it did before. It doesn't have that much effect on voter turnout at all, very little, if any. Now, there are other things you can say about social media, and it's still early, but people have jumped on the social media bandwagon in terms of its power. Once again, social media is cheap to use, and if it's targeted properly, can affect things. But it doesn't really have all that much to do with increasing voter turnout.
At the end of the day, it's
more
just a campaign.
Although you're going to discover as we talk here, at the end of the day, there really isn't much that has a significant effect on increasing voter turnout, if any effect at all.
And now I know that, there's been the emphasis on the youth vote, whether that will actually bring young people out to vote this time.
Well, I mean, the fundamental thing to start with is this, that in every election, the younger demographic, the youth vote, has the lowest turnout. And that is very unlikely to change, whether it's here or anywhere else. We've gone through this at various other times, that the media gets a hold of groups that have a whole lot of passion. This will be different this time, and therefore the youth vote will change. I think the guarded way to look at this is, first of all, we're a long way from the emphasis on the anti-gun violence movement to actually voting at an election. It's a long time away. It may increase some of the passion may turn into voting registration, and then that may turn into a slightly higher turnout. Those are a lot of mays, and they're fighting against the fact that youth votes are generally don't vote very much. The youth vote doesn't vote very much. That's a habit. It's tied into other things. It takes an enormously salient event to change that, and it simply doesn't happen. Now, one other thing. Remember, in close elections, a little bit of turnout increase or decrease can make a lot of difference. So we don't have to be talking about big numbers here. But just generally overall, there's a lot of obstacles to the idea that the youth vote's going to increase in any kind of a large manner.
And we've seen in a lot of campaigns that, you know, they get out the vote, and you get people organized in, you know, these little coffee hours, and then they basically branch out and they say, oh, we'll give you a ride to the polls, and, you know.
Sure. Well, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, let's start with the fact that within that description, there's something that's very important, and that is that the most effective way to increase voter turnout is on the basis of a kind of personal relationships that appeals to people the same way that you appeal to people to do other things. So it isn't whether it's a coffee hour or not, and the fact that it's a partisan candidate doesn't always make that much difference. If you have a process by which you're able to contact people, and that's partially what targeting does, and we can get back to targeting later, that seems to have a bigger effect on voter turnout. And the biggest effect of all of these now dozens and dozens of studies is one done back, must be about 10 or 15 years ago, where what they discovered is that if they tell a person that, one, we know you voted because, you didn't vote in the last election, because that's public knowledge, not how you voted. And we're going to check whether you voted this time, and the information is going to be made publicly, that is, to your neighbors. On the one hand, that there was an 8% increase in voter turnout between that group and all of the others that didn't get that kind of thing. And on the other hand, there was a tremendous pushback because there was a lot of – they didn't like the shaming. There's a shaming thing there. And it turns out you can modify the message. But the important thing is that that's a face-to-face kind of contact and everything else. Those are the kinds of things that seem to work the best. There are other things you can tinker around with. But remember the trade-off. That's very labor-intensive. The average, the average campaign, the average legislative campaign is going to have a lot of trouble with that. So you can send out all kind of blanket emails and all these kind of radio announcements. They may be cheaper, but they're not going to, they may not get you as much vote per buck.
I had an experience where I was taking a sign language class, and the group said, oh, we're doing a community service thing on Saturday, come show up in lieu of class. And I'm like, well, what is it? And it was a campaign. You were going to be stuffing envelopes for a mayoral campaign. And I'm like, wait a minute. I can't do this.
Yes.
And these people shouldn't be doing it either.
So that was, that's an entry. That's not public. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But the notion that you're taking a class and making them doing stuff or for partisan stuff, that stuff goes on. But that's But the point is that if you're thinking of using that as a way of increasing voter turnout, you can just picture how hit and miss it is. You don't know who's getting it. You don't know all these things, and that's where targeting comes in. With the availability of big data and all this kind of macro data now, if you have the money and it's getting cheaper, you can discover within certain probabilities who is likely to vote and who and what direction that they lean, not necessarily by individuals, but by pretty small things. So you can target those individuals you want to target, which would be probably in a partisan campaign. You don't care about whether your opponent's people votes, but you can target these people and you can appeal to them to get out to the vote thing. And that's a kind of face-to-face. I'm pretty sure that in the mayoral election that Ben Cayetano lost, that's one of the sophisticated techniques that was used against him, which of course comes right out of the Democratic National they really developed it. Barack Obama's people and so on really developed this kind of targeting, and it's moved a long way since.
So the bottom line is it's a playbook, some useful stuff in here.
Well, yeah, the problem is it's a playbook, but it's got a lot of what-ifs in it. I mean, it makes an NFL playbook seem like a tic-tac-toe game.
Okay.
But there are things we know more now than we did before, and there's a whole lot of, to put it politely, lore and exaggeration out there, which is based on bad evidence. So if you really want to get some sense, take a look at this book.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Neil.
Sure.
Neil Milner is the Conversation's contributing editor of our regular segment, The Long View. You can find links to more information about today's segment on HawaiiPublicRadio.org.